Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Joy, Lord, let it be. I love the last line that says, we'll shout for joy. I thought we would just kind of break up a little monotony and we would just shout the word joy. Are y'all all right with that? That's all right, because I got the microphone, so I can do that. So on three, we're going to say joy all out loud together. All right, one, two, three.
Joy.
Man, that's pretty good. We've got some hand raised here. Let's do it one more time. Get a little energy going. On three, joy, right? One, two, three.
Joy.
Joy. What in the world is joy? Like, we should ask that question. Like, that was some beautiful words to describe joy. What is joy? And so today, I want to talk about joy a little bit. I want to talk about this exceeding gladness, this pleasure that we see. And if you've ever lived, you've probably experienced joy at some level, right? Now, joy, there are levels of joy, right? Like, if you pull into a busy parking lot and you see that front row open spot and you're like, rock star Jesus, thank you. Like that kind of joy. Anybody else? You like that? Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for that. That's joy. We also derive some joy when our sports teams win, right? Anybody else? Like watching the Tennessee Vols take down Gonzaga. Like that was a big win. Anybody get some joy over that? A couple people? Yeah, come on. I'm trying to, you know, play the crowd a little bit. When I watched the Michigan Ohio State game this year, I'll tell you what, there was so much joy. Man, it's so good to see you here. Oh my goodness. Oh, there's joy in my heart right now. Oh, so good. There was joy in my basement when my Buckeyes took down the Wolverines. Like our family was just, man, all over the place. Just Jesus joy was flowing out of our home. And last, what was it, two nights ago maybe, my family and I, actually it was Saturday, we were headed somewhere, and before that we went down to Phil's Dream Pit. Like anybody else like a little Phil's Dream Pit, yeah? We were headed down to Phil's and I was going to get some brisket, and so that I was already filled with joy already here. And so we're standing in line and I'm at Phil's and I see this guy and immediately my brain triggers, oh wait, that's right, I've met this guy before. And actually Phil, the owner of Phil's, he introduced me to him because Phil knows that I am a Buckeye and this guy is a huge Michigan fan. So he introduced me a couple months back and we actually made a bet that day. I know that's not okay in most churches, but we made a bet. And I said, listen, I will buy you, I think I told him I'd buy him dinner or lunch anywhere he wanted if his Wolverines beat my Buckeyes. But I said, if my Buckeyes win, this is what has to happen. You're going to get your butt in my church. Ooh. Now, I think that's why Jesus empowered the Buckeyes to win. So, if you want to bless somebody, ask for the balls to do so. No, anyhow. So in line, I'm saying, hey, when are you coming to church? He's like, I'll be there tomorrow, right? Or whatever day it was. I think it was said tomorrow. And so, I guess what was relived in my joy, because I relived that memory of my Buckeyes spanking the Wolverines. It was so good. And so, there's various levels of joy. Anybody have kids here? You knew this week was filled with a lot of joy. Right? Like Sunday morning, I got up, checked the weather, snow. We decided to cancel Sunday services last week. And so, you know, mama's happy. Daddy can stay in bed a little bit longer. And 6 a.m., my son right here, he rolls in. Dad, it's snowing. I was like, yes, it's going to continue to snow. Go back to bed. No, no, no. I was like, go back to bed. An hour later, he's like, it's 7 o'clock, Dad. Like, we're getting, I said, go for it, man. Knock yourself out. Go get in the snow. Like, I'm going to be right here in my bed because I don't have to preach today. And so it's going to be good. And so, there was tons of joy when my kids saw the snow coming down, right? And that joy was just exponentially greater the next day when they found out school was canceled. And then the next day, they found out school was canceled. And then Tuesday evening, I'm sure some of you parents are like, yeah, I feel you. Tuesday evening, you're like getting ready, outfits for school, ready. And then I got this ding. Oh, I wonder who sent me an email. School will be canceled. And so I said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. Because nobody in my house was predicting that whatsoever. So I said, in kind of a rough voice, I said, all right, kids. Man, I hit puberty today. Okay, kids. Everybody in the living room right now, all your rear ends on the couch right now. Because they would be a little crazy, a little stir crazy. And so I said, everybody, get on the couch right now. All of you on the couch right now. And I sit down at this chair across from them. My wife's right here. And I'm just looking at, I'm like scowling at them. Like I'm just like, and they're like covering their rear ends. Like they're like, what are we doing? And they have no idea. Jay should laugh because you know this is true, right? My kid can attest to this. And I said, listen, your mommy and daddy have heard some news. We are not very happy about it. And all the parents said, amen to that. And I had that dramatic pause, and they're like, what do we do? They're like holding each other. And I said, school is canceled tomorrow. And all at once, this joy overflowed. They leapt from the couch and yes, right? Joy. Met all kinds of levels of joy. But the joy I just described in several different ways is a joy that's very dependent on our circumstance. Like, I'm going to have great joy if school is out. But if I got to go to school, not so much joy. Joy that when my team wins, man, I'm good, like, let's go. But when my team loses, I know Derek's going to say something on Sunday, and I don't really like that very much, right? Joy is circumstantial in a lot of ways. But today, my hope is that we could look at joy and look at a different kind of joy, a joy that's not dependent on somebody getting me the right gift, a joy that's not dependent on my kid responding appropriately to the gift I spent way too much money on, but a joy that's rooted in a person that's not just temporary, but eternal. Today I want to talk about a joy that Jesus ushered in when he arrived as a baby boy. That's the kind of joy that I hope to unpack a little bit today. Now, this joy was mentioned by Paul in something I shared, I think, 2 weeks ago, a prayer that he prayed. Paul said this, which I love this prayer, one of my favorites in the scripture. He said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So here we see, I want you to see this, that God desires to give you hope. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. He wants to give you hope. He also wants to give you peace. But here we see very clearly that Paul was praying that not only would they have hope, not only would they have peace, but they would be filled with joy. And I want to put you this before you today is that joy follows God. Just like hope follows God, joy follows God. Wherever God is and wherever he is received and embraced, there is joy because that is who he is. Now, his joy is available to all of us, but not all of us know his joy because not all of us has received and embraced him, right? Like Herod, we're going to talk about a little later. Herod was the king at the time of Jesus' birth. He wanted Jesus dead because he was threatened by his kingdom, that his authority would potentially. And so Herod never experienced the joy that we're talking about today that we know of. Many of the Pharisees, when Jesus came on the scene proclaiming this kingdom, they were offended. And they had the scarcity mentality that he was going to take their power away from them, that somehow he would kind of put down what they were trying to do. He would undermine them. And so what do? They rejected Jesus. And by doing so, they actually rejected the joy that God wanted to give them. See, joy follows God, but it's only for those that receive him. Now we know this is true because what Paul writes to the church in Galatia is that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And what's that next word? Joy, okay? So this is the fruit of the Spirit, a byproduct of what it looks like when a follower is following Jesus, continually filled with the Spirit, aligning our lives, our minds with him more and more in this process of becoming like God. As that happens, as we're immersed in the Spirit, what happens is we overflow these type of things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit, the outworking, the expression of what God is doing on the inside of us. We don't try to do this just to do it. No, we submit to the King, and out of that comes these type of things. So we see when the Spirit is in our life, what is following the Spirit, which is fully God? Joy. Right here, joy, and it overflows out of us. Right? It overflows out of us. There's one more verse that Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he's talking about this kingdom of God, which we talk about a lot here, the rule and reign of God. He says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, which is really good news to all of us, that the kingdom of God that we are proclaiming, that Jesus came to demonstrate and proclaim, it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about you doing what's right and doing what's wrong and somehow you make the mark or you miss the mark. It's not about that. He says, actually, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is about the righteousness of God, the right standing that he offers us. It's about peace with God and with one another. And then he says something interesting. He said, it's the kingdom of God is of the joy that we find through the Spirit of God. And what I'd put before you is a characteristic, one of the characteristics of the kingdom of God and a person that's in the kingdom is joy. And so the kingdom we see, Jesus came to proclaim, he is the king in the kingdom. And this is why the kingdom is filled with joy, because the king is joyful. And some of you need to hear this morning. Like, some of us have this odd view of God that we think of him as some kind of man in a big chair, and he's just angry and he's got a scowl like I had with my kids on the couch, right? That's how we think of God. And I want to tell you, God is not in a bad mood. God is filled with joy. And because he is a God that's filled with joy, he gives his kids joy as well, and he offers it to all of us. This is why Jesus said to his disciples, listen, I give you my joy. What was that? Jesus had joy. Yeah, Jesus was filled with joy. And he says, I give you my joy so that your joy can be complete, right? We have a king who's over the kingdom who is filled with joy. And therefore, those that are in the kingdom have joy at their fingertips. This is who we are. This is what it means to be in the kingdom of God, to be a kid of the king. This is what we have before us. Now, if we go to the arrival story, the story that we've been talking about and we're going to continue to talk about next Sunday and even on Christmas Eve, we find in Luke chapter 2 something interesting. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we hear kind of a story of the birth of Jesus. Mary has him and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there's no place for him in the inn. And then we pick up on what's happening outside of that immediate area, but in the same region, the same part of the country. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, in the same region where Jesus was just born, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So these guys are working graveyard shifts. So I know if you guys are working shift work, you know what this is like. They're working graveyard on nights. And so they're out there doing their thing. Verse 9, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. Everybody say good news. Of great joy. Now everybody say great joy. Good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now today I want to unpack this a little bit more. I want to unpack this good news that's filled with great joy. And the first thing I want us to see about this good news that the angels proclaimed, that it brings us to great news. The first reason why it's good news filled with great joy is because it is for all the people. This is important for us here today. That means this is for all the people. So that means no matter how you vote in the election, past or future, it's for you. That doesn't matter if your background is you were raised in a Christian home or you're raised in a Buddhist home or you're raised in a Muslim home or you're a man, you're a woman, you're black, you're white, you're Hispanic, you're Asian. That doesn't matter. This news that we're going to talk about today, it is for you. And it is good news for anybody who would receive it. That's the good news that we're talking about today. May we never forget that. What the angel proclaimed, good news of great joy for all the people. So today I want to unpack, what is the good news? What does this good news look like? And there's three things that stand out to me. There's lots more that we could look at, but three that stand out to me this morning that I want to share. And number one, we go back to where Joseph is hearing word that his fiance, Mary, is pregnant, and he's considering divorcing her quietly and leaving her to go about his life. He's having this encounter, and in that, he has an encounter with an angel, and I think we're going to have it up on the screen here. Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, this is an angel speaking. The virgin, Mary, shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And this is where our joy begins. So it's the first thing I want you to write down about joy is that our joy abounds because God is with us. Our joy abounds because God with us. The fact that Jesus stepped out of heaven and came and dwelt among us should blow our minds. And the fact that before he headed back to be with his father, where he is today at his right hand, he said, guys, listen, don't be dismayed. I'm going to send you the helper. I'm going to send my own spirit to be with you. You're not going to be left orphans. I'm not going to leave you. I'm always going to be with you. And here's where our joy begins today is this fact that you are not alone. You're not alone. You are not alone. Now listen, I talk to people all the time and I'm telling you, one of the greatest things that's hitting our society today is loneliness. We're more connected with social media, Facebook, followers on Instagram. We've got all these social platforms. And what's killing us as a culture is we feel so isolated and alone. And I'm going to tell you, it is a work of the enemy, and he is driving us away from the Father because of it. And here's what I want you to know, is you are not alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'm with you. And that should bring us joy. A couple nights ago, as a family, we introduced my kids to a movie called Home Alone. Anybody ever seen Home Alone? I didn't realize that I would have to kind of talk to my kids how it's disrespectful to speak that way. I didn't know as a kid, like I was like the coolest movie ever. I'm like, as a parent, it's a little different, right? And so I had to teach them a few things like, hey, we don't talk to each other that way and all that good stuff. But anyhow, the movie starts and you know the premise, they go to France and they leave him at home alone and it was his wish, right? He's like, Santa, like this is the one thing I want that you would allow me to just have my family away from me. That was his one wish for Christmas. And he wakes up and there's nobody home and he begins to eat ice cream and he puts aftershave on his face and you guys all remember that scene or, ah, you know, and then at some point though, he realizes that being alone is not always cracked up to be. And it's like, oh man, like I'm a little scared. He finds himself under the bed and then he gets a little gusto. But what I love about this movie is, you know, there's great slapstick humor, right? The iron classic falling on his head that's hot and leaving that, it's always gonna be in my mind. It's a great memory of growing up. But in the middle of all that slapstick humor is this incredible storyline that ends with this little boy recognizing that even with all his family's faults and failures, he'd rather be with them than be alone. It's a beautiful picture. And in that story, his mom comes home and they give a hug and everything's great and it's a beautiful ending, right? And it's this idea that we weren't made to be alone. And yet the enemy, he wants you to know, he wants you to believe this lie that you are all alone, that nobody else relates to you, nobody else gets you, nobody else struggles the same way you struggle, nobody else. And so what happens is we drive ourselves further and further and further away from people and we think that we are alone. And I want to tell you this today, you are not alone. God's never left your side. You've never been outside of his hand. You've never left his eye. He is with you today. And that recognition of that can derive us much joy knowing that we are not alone, that God is with us. But here's the crazy thing about God is he only is not just with us, which that would be great in itself, but not only is he with us, he's also for us, which blows a lot of our theology away, that we believed false things over our life, that not only is God with us, he actually likes you. He actually is for you. This is what we see Paul write. He says, Who can be against us, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is what Paul writes in this beautiful section of scripture in Romans. And it's a section of scripture that I think we don't really believe. I don't think we honestly believe that God is for us, that he wants good for us oftentimes. I don't think we get that. And so then we think, okay, God is with me, but man, he really doesn't want to be with me. He's got that seat between us. You know how guys do when they sit down in church? You got that seat between us. We're like, God's like got a whole row between us. Because he's with me, but man, he's not really for me. But I want to tell you this one real simple truth that I think that the arrival of Jesus demonstrates to us, and I want you to listen to this. The most profound thing that I think the arrival of Jesus shows us is this simple truth. God desires you. And you're like, yeah, God desires the person beside me. Like, Derek, you can say that you're a pastor. Like, no, I want you to hear me. This is good news for all people. God desires you. You, and he showed us because he sent his son from heaven to be with us, God with us. And then he died for you so that he could bring you closer to the Father than you ever could have on your own. And he did that, why? Because he wants you. And here's the incredible thing about God. He wires us with this desire. When I talk to my wife about what's it look like for her to in our marriage and what's the highest thing that she wants from me, this is what my wife wants more than anything else. She wants to know that I desire her, that I think about her, that I go out of my way to be proactive, that I consider her thoughts and her desires. This is what she wants. And I'm telling you, as men, we have the same thing. Like, we want to be desired at work. Like, we want to know we're doing a good job. We want to know we're respected and we're well thought of. This is our desire. We are born with an innate desire to be desired. And that's a good thing. It's a bad thing, though, when we find that outside of the kingdom of God. When we find that, man, that boss at work, he likes when I work 80 hours a week, and so I'm just gonna keep doing that and never stop, that's not necessarily of the Lord. Now, there's seasons when we got to work 80 hours. I'm not against work. Trust me, I'm all for that. But when we try to find our value, find our wealth of worth in something else outside of God, it gets really haywire and really, really bad. But what God wants you to know this morning is He is for you. And He desires for you to know Him. He desires that you would know that He loves you, and He wants you to receive that. Now, as a kid, I had this mentor, a hero of mine. He was about 5 years older than me. His mom was my babysitter, and so when I was like in, I don't know, what's that, fifth grade, he was a sophomore or junior in high school, and he was the best basketball player our town had ever seen. And so I looked up to him. Some people wanted to be like Mike. I wanted to be like Coy. It was just that kind of thing. Like I thought he walked on water. And he did the coolest things. When he would have his high school friends over and I would be there, his mom was babysitting, he would invite me out to the court and he would say, Derek, hey, why don't you be on my team? And so what was that? I was with Coy in that moment, right? Now you guys know, like I am, if you're on the court and you got somebody who's not very good, like you tell, hey, everybody, don't pass the ball to Derek, right? You guys know that. Some of you were that kid probably. But he didn't do that to me. Not only did he invite me into the game, he actually gave me the ball and wanted me to score, right? And it impacted my life greatly. It gave me a ton of confidence. But here is the thing. I think that's like the Father. He's like, guys, listen, I want you involved with me. Not only do I want you to be with me, not only do I want to be with you, but I want you to do well. I have good things for you. This is what we have to be thinking. And if we believe this about God, I'm telling you, it'll bring us joy that He's not only with us, but He's for you. He's for you more than you are for yourself. God is for you. I'm telling you, He is. Now, the last thing that I want to unpack today is I told you we talk about the wise men, and we find them in the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, we're hearing about Joseph and Emmanuel, this Jesus coming and God with us. And then we find the wise men in chapter 2 of Matthew. Now, listen to what happened. Matthew chapter 2. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now, that's really important, all right? If you have your Bible, I'd love for you just to underline, king of the Jews. For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. So these wise men, they are looking for this King Jesus, and so they happen upon this kingdom, and Herod is the king. And Herod's like, hey, I want to know about this king, right? I want to go worship him too. And they're wise men, so they're pretty wise, right? And so they're like, nope, I know this is not true. And so they kind of pass by Herod, and they continue to pursue this king of the Jews, this baby that's been born. Now, if we fast forward a little bit to chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, after listening to the king, King Herod, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced, listen to this, exceedingly with great joy. Now, why did they rejoice exceedingly with great joy? What was it they were looking for? The King Jesus, right? Look and see what they did. It says, and going into the house where Jesus was, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening the treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The last thing I want you to write down is that our joy abounds because of this simple thing. The King has come. If you had to sum up the good news that the angels proclaimed that was filled with great joy, I think this would be it. The King has come, and He's come to establish His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we talk about that a lot, but what does that mean? That means the will of the Father that's completely exerted in heaven, everything that God wants to happen that's happened in heaven, what Jesus came to do is to actually bring that to earth, to establish His kingdom, where the Father's heart, the will of the Father would become to be demonstrated and proclaimed on this earth as it is in heaven. So this is the good news, that the King has come to establish His kingdom, but it gets better. He actually came to establish it, but then He came to invite us into it. See, this is the beautiful news, is you and I, we couldn't earn entry into this kingdom. You can't be born into the kingdom of God. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus to enter into the kingdom of God. You can't do it, but the King says, follow me. I'll take you in. See, this is the good news that is filled with great joy. The king has come and he is inviting us into it. And this is some of the great news that we see in this. The king didn't come in a palace. The king came in a humble situation, in a manger where there was no room in the inn. Sometimes we think of God and we think, man, before I invite Jesus to come into a certain area of my life, my marriage, my addiction, my relationships, my finances, before I do that, you know what? I got to go get everything worked out. I got to get it cleaned up. I got to get it prepared for Jesus. But I want you to know that Jesus, the King, loves to come into our darkness. The very area you're like, man, Jesus would not want to come in there. That's exactly where he's at the door knocking and say, I want to come in there. Why? Because I love you. I'm for you. I'm with you. And I am bringing the kingdom. And with it comes joy. With it comes life. This is the good news filled with great joy that the King has come and he is inviting all of us into it. Now, as you see this, what happens with the wise men, it blows me away. It hit me hard even last night preparing for this. It says that the wise men, upon seeing baby Jesus, what's it say that they do? It says that the wise men, these guys that knew a lot, they get down and they begin to worship baby Jesus. Not the God Jesus that was on the cross or that raised up, no, little baby Jesus who they knew would be the King of the King, who was already the King of the Jews. They begin to worship, they begin to bow down and humble themselves before this baby boy. And what did it say they do? They got out all their gifts and they begin to give it to him. And this morning, this is what I want you to know, is that the joy that we're searching for, the scripture tells us, is found in the presence of Jesus. The joy that you want to have that is constant is found when we get our eyes off of ourselves, when we humble ourselves before God and we say, you are worthy, King Jesus. And when we do that, we find out that joy is actually when we give ourselves to a person, not when we get something from somebody else. Jesus says, if you want to gain your life, what do? We give it away. And what these wise men do, they not only worship the king, but then they take all they had and they gave it to Jesus in an act of obedience, an act of worship, an act of praise. And I'm going to tell you this morning, what God wants for you and where he wants to give you joy is in those things where you give him your life, all of your life. Give him your circumstance at work. Give him your relationships, your struggles. He wants to say, give it to me. Let me have it. Trust me. And in doing so, you're going to find joy that you never thought possible. This is what the wise men did. And what they're doing is modeling for us what it looks like to find the joy that we all desire. To say, Jesus, I'm yours. Have your way. I trust you. I give you my life. And in doing so, what you'll find is he'll give you more life than you ever thought he'd possible. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said in John 10 that I've come that you would have life and have it abundantly. See, he's better than you think. So much better than you think. He's a good dad and he's filled with joy and he wants to give you that same joy. But as I was praying last night, this is the reality that I was just contemplating as I was praying for you, as praying for the different services, is that many people in this room, you're already a child of God, and that is great. Like, you follow Jesus, and that's awesome. But when we talk about this joy, you're like, man, I don't really feel a lot here when we talk about Jesus. Like, I feel like, man, I go through the motions. I do, like, what I'm supposed to do, right? Like, I'm doing the right things. I'm not doing the wrong things, like, as best as I can. But there's not a real passion and zeal. And so I was drawn to Psalm 51, David wrote this psalm right after he had cheated on his wife and slept with another man's woman and got her pregnant. Then he had her husband killed. So he was guilty of murder. Really the pit of David's life. In the middle of this, he confesses this to the Lord. And then he repents. He says, God, forgive me. I want to follow you. And then this is what he says in Psalm 51. He says, restore to me the salvation of your, or the joy of your salvation. Right? So I just felt just a deep burden this morning that there are many people that have already stepped foot in the kingdom of God and are already children of God, yet you're really struggling with joy this morning. Even enjoy the fact that you're a child of God, and maybe it's just become cold and commonplace for you, and I want to pray for you, and I want to ask that the Spirit would impart to you joy that only he can, that he would restore your joy and your salvation this morning. And so We're going to step out in a little boldness before we worship again. Is if that's you today and you're like, man, I don't have a ton of joy, Derek. I'm saved, but man, that doesn't really get me anymore. I'm not really in love with Jesus like I was at one time in my life. I'm just going to invite you just to stand up. And I believe that the Lord wants to impart some joy to you for your salvation by the power of your Holy Spirit. So if that's you, just want you to pop up to your feet, and I'm going to pray for you that the Holy Spirit would fall upon you and would restore the joy that you had when you first believed. Yeah. 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 So if you're standing, this is what I want you to do. Just close your eyes, and I'm just going to pray a prayer over you that the Spirit would fill you up and give you what he said he would, that he would give us joy. So Father, thank you first and foremost for sending your son Jesus to make a way where there was no way, to be restored into relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would restore just the joy that I had when I first believed. Lord, for those that are standing that are desiring that same thing, Lord, would you renew their joy? Would you stir up their affection for you? Would you take the place of priority again in their life? Would they know how much you love them, how much you're for them, what it means to walk as a kid in your kingdom? Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just fill them up with joy that you promised us when we follow you and we submit to you, that you would impart to them a freshness in their walk with you, a realness in their walk with you, that they would fall in love with you more. Jesus, we ask for this in the power, in the name of the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. Amen. 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 You guys can have a seat here. As I was thinking about this message as well, not only was I thinking about those of us that maybe have grown a little cold, I was thinking about the reality that I'm talking about a joy that not all of us have experienced before. I mentioned before, this joy is for all people, but it's for those that actually receive this free gift of grace through Jesus. And I was just overwhelmed by the reality. There's probably some people in here that have never experienced the joy of Jesus. You've never submitted your life to him by faith to receive his forgiveness and love. And I want to just tell you today, today could be the day where you find joy that you never thought possible. That you would give your life as the wise men gave what they had, that you would give your life, and in doing so, you'd actually find true life. And so here's what's going to happen. We're going to sing one last song. It's going to be an upbeat, awesome, joyous song. If you're like, man, I want that kind of joy. I want to know Jesus. I want to know that he's for me, that he's with me, and that I am in his kingdom. Today, when we have our prayer ministry team come up, you come forward and just say, I want to receive Jesus and his joy. And I'm going to tell you, your life will be changed forever. Eternity will let out a huge holler, because we know the angels celebrate when one person comes back to the Father. It's going to be great. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for these people. Thank you for the city, for this community, for what you're doing here, the way you're revealing yourself. Lord, thank you for joy. Lord, I pray it wouldn't just be a hypothetical talk today, a hypothetical gathering today, but we would actually experience your joy rooted in Jesus, the arrival of Jesus. Lord, let it be so. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.